If you spent any time yesterday watching cable news, you probably saw the video of a Lufthansa Airbus attempting to land in Hamburg, Germany. The plane, buffeted by heavy winds, rocks from side to side as it approaches the landing strip. It bounces off the tarmac. The left wing actually scrapes the runway, and then it takes off again. The plane landed safely on a second attempt. Everyone on board was okay, except those of us who missed a heartbeat or two watching the video. We're going to talk with an expert in plane crashes about why he was not surprised that it all worked out. But first, if you have a question about why planes crash and how pilots can avert disaster, our number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Joining us now by phone from Grand Forks in North Dakota is George Bible, author of Beyond the Black Box, The Forensics of Airplane Crashes. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And I know you saw the video, too. So what were we looking at there?
Well, they had an unexpected gust of wind right before touchdown, and the plane rolled, wing touched, and he took off again, which is a planned procedure. It happens from time to time. A missed approach might cause similar takeoffs like that.
It is absolutely, to the layman, to the passenger, more than occasional passenger, it's absolutely terrifying.
Well, yes, it is. I'd probably be terrified, too, but it's very likely the worst-case scenario, even if they were to crash, everyone would walk away. Now, I'm not here to guarantee that, but it certainly can happen. I was looking at a very similar crash in 2000 in the Netherlands. They had a very bad crosswind, and they collapsed the nose gear, but everyone was uninjured.
By the way, if you'd like to get a link to George Bible's blog and look at the video of the almost crash yesterday in Germany, Saturday on Germany, go to our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And the incident that you said was similar, what happened in the Netherlands there?
Well, again, an unexpected crosswind, a gust a little greater than they expected. It sounds like very close to the same amount of wind, maybe 50 mile an hour, and they rolled very similar to the video we're looking at, and they just hit too hard during the roll.
If the wing hits, don't a lot of models of commercial aircraft have a lot of fuel in the wings, don't they?
Well, yes. If you leak fuel, you can always catch on fire. You don't have to, but That's a big concern. But I found some bizarre incidences back in the 60s. A 707 lost 30 feet of wing from a engine fire. And another case, a collision, they lost 25 feet of wing. In both cases, they safely landed. So the wing could take a lot of punishment.
That's encouraging. This was a plane spotter who took this video, and I guess these people are all over the world just watching aircraft come in. But this was on a very nasty day, a rainy day, obviously very blustery.
Well, yes, it was. And wet runway, you need a longer runway to land, but that's all figured in, too. They're not solving any new problems when they land an airplane. Occasionally, they get surprised.
Obviously, a wind gust 50 miles an hour or so up in the air, that doesn't bother a plane so much. You're traveling at 600 miles an hour. 50 miles an hour is not all that much of an effect. When you're coming in for a landing, though, the plane is very vulnerable.
Yes, and most people are probably familiar with the phrase wind shear. That used to be a problem. It caused a number of crashes in the 70s and 80s, but there's been mandated Doppler radar on the airplanes and in airports. I just saw a recent statistic. They expect a plane to crash from wind shear maybe once every 10 years or so. So that's essentially a solved problem. But occasionally they still get surprised. But there's a lot of leeway, as we saw in the video. It's scary to look at, but I don't really think they're that close to killing everyone.
The idea also that you nearly crash, a lot of people would think it's counterintuitive to then take off again and go around for a second landing.
Yes, well, to land the plane correctly, he's got to have the correct approach at the runway, a correct altitude and speed and distance along the length of the runway, orientation. They got to have good visibility. If something goes wrong, the protocol is to just take off and try again. So they're all set to do that. They're not. They have existing procedures to do that, and everyone knows what to do. They're not making it up at the last minute.
Let's get Larry on the line. Larry's calling us from Sheridan in Oregon.
Yes, as a pilot myself, first of all, I'm curious if they know what the reported crosswind was on that landing. And then secondly, a comment about the get it done attitude. You got to get the plane on the ground because the passengers are counting on you, et cetera.
Do you know the speed of the crosswind?
Well, all I know is what I saw on the Internet. The first report was 155 miles an hour, and that was quickly corrected. And I think I saw something like 56 miles per hour, which sounds believable to me. But, you know, imagine being in a brief wind gust. I'm not sure how well they can figure that out for really short ones.
Yeah, because there's going to be a limitation, or at least a maximum demonstrated crosswind limitation in the airplane. For every airplane I've been rated in, there's always a maximum of 23 knots or 20 knots, whatever it might be. And it sounds like maybe they were making an attempt where they shouldn't have been making an attempt.
And would that have been a pilot decision or an air traffic control decision?
Strictly a pilot decision, I would think.
And the pilot decided to try again.
Yeah. It appears in the video that he's making multiple attempts to get it on the ground and then finally aborting the landing. But I'm Monday morning quarterbacking, and I wasn't in the cockpit, obviously, and so it's not fair to make any judgments at this point.
But. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about Larry's other point, the get-it-done idea, George Bible, that the pilots feel a lot of pressure to get the passengers down on the ground?
Well, sure they do, but I think they feel a lot more pressure to get them on the ground safely. So I'm not sure I'm going to develop that one too much.
There is always that scenario though where you've had a long flight or whatever it might be, and the boss is in the back thinking, let's get this thing done, and the notion of going around is always a little bit of pressure on you. So thanks for your time,
and thanks for the call, Larry. Okay. Let's go now to Chuck. Chuck calling us from San Francisco.
Thanks very much. Looking at that video, it seems like there's a bit of a crosswind, so the plane approaches the runway kind of pointing a bit off to the side. And then just before touching down, they kind of point the plane so it's traveling in the same direction of the runway. Is that more or less the case?
Yes, I think so. But
And I'm wondering, in a situation like that, why can't they have the landing gear steerable in such a way that the plane could continue to basically fly until it's securely on the ground? In other words, if they could point the wheels along the direction of the runway but still have the plane dealing with moving through the air like an airplane, you could have avoided that problem. It looked like they had the big problem came when they tried to go from flying to rolling along. Do you get what I mean?
Yes, but the landing gear will skid. I don't think rolling would help that much if they had a steerable runway. The problem is, in addition to the wings rolling, like you saw in the video, the plane also has a sink rate, which isn't as readily obvious. And if they hit too hard vertically, then you'll do damage to the plane. So I don't think a steerable landing gear would solve that sort of problem.
It looked to me like it might, but I appreciate your consideration. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Chuck. Let's see if we can get John. John's with us from Taos, New Mexico.
Hey, good afternoon, folks. All I've got to say about that video is, wow, 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 that doggone pilot ought to get a medal. My dad was a pilot before he died, and he learned how to fly during the World War II era. And I have experienced those type of situations in small two-seater planes. Pilots are trained to deal with these sort of situations, and that's what the pilot did. It may have been a lot more scary seeing it from the outside, but darn, he did a great job, and all I've got to say is 3 gold stars for Lufthansa and those German pilots. They really know what they're doing, and this is a reason aviation is so safe that there is a reason why we heard about this all the way in the United States. Problems in these huge planes are very, very not common, and I'd sure like to know how much that darn plane weighed and how heavy the crosswind was, because he did a fantastic job and should get applauded. Thank you.
Thanks very much, John.
Pilots are extraordinary people, and I'll give them all the credit anyone wants to give them, and that's why they have thousands and thousands of hours of experience. They know what they're doing.
And let's see if we can squeeze one more call in. This is, I just lost the name. My system went down. Who is this, please?
Bill?
Bill, go ahead, please.
Lexington. One quick comment is, could that pilot have aborted that landing maybe 10, 20 seconds earlier? And the other thing, in Der Spiegel, they also mentioned that that first attempt was the co-pilot, a young co-pilot, 24-year-old, and then the pilot took over, I guess,
as things got dramatic, I suspect.
Yeah, so, could they have aborted that a few seconds earlier before they actually hit the ground?
Well, they can abort it at any time, and I'll refer to my previous comment. They're extraordinary people, and I'm not really going to second-guess them. I mean, you know, you got to take it in contents of all the specifics in the cockpit at the time.
Right. But, yeah, maybe the pilot was giving the co-pilot the benefit of the doubt for maybe a little too long.
Well, it rolled at the last minute. You don't know what the gusting situations were from second to second.
It was quite spectacular nonetheless.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. And I'd like to thank you for your time, please, George Bible.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
George Bible's book is Beyond the Black Box, The Forensics of Airplane Crashes. He joined us from Grand Forks, North Dakota. Again, you can find a link to his blog and a video of that rocky landing at our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.